No one else gets introduced as the Right Reverend. No one. I don't know why you do that. I have to say, when Keith said, I think the people from Middlesbrough are probably a bit nicer than the people from Darton, all the people from Darton stood up waving the fists like that. I mean, if that isn't self-fulfilling prophecy, I don't know what is. Congratulations to Carl and Terrier. Where's Carl and Terrier? They've had a baby! And with all seriousness, a word of stern warning from the church. No more girls. It's not on. It's not sick. It's not wicked. It's just, we need boys. So, Emily and Tim, get your act together. All right? We want more men in this church. Congratulations to Carl and Terrier. And, you know, we want to enlarge our family, don't we? We're doing it the slow way. If everyone just has kids. And in 20 years, we'll be twice the size we are now, if that's all we do. If that's all we do, we'll be double this number by the time I retire. What a naff vision. What a naff vision. What a naff growth rate. Absolutely not what God has commanded us to do when he says go out into all the world. All right? It's wonderful seeing families grow. It's wonderful seeing Christian families grow. But it is not why we are here. So, turn to Isaiah chapter 54. And we're going to start reading at verses 2 and 3. A little bit of background for you. This is Isaiah prophesying and instructing into Israel. Israel at this time is down. It's beaten. It feels like God has neglected them and rejected them. It's their own sin that's got them to this place. But they are now weary. They are whingy. And Isaiah is often giving them warnings, but he's also giving them encouragement. And in Isaiah 54, verse 2, he says to them, enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. And he goes on to say, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do you want your kids to inherit the nations and the desolate places to be inhabited and full of joy and life? And then in verse 17, just to finish off, Isaiah says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So this is Isaiah talking to the Israelites who can't be more down than they are now. And he says, it's going to be wonderful. Everything that you see is desolate is going to be inhabited. Where there's death, you're going to see life. Where there's destruction, things are going to be rebuilt and better than they were before. So Heavenly Father, help us today. Come now, Holy Spirit, in this room right now and change the atmosphere in this place. Because, Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need your direction. Lord Jesus, we need you right now. So melt every heart. Focus every mind. Take away any judgment and break through right now, Holy Spirit, in this place. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. A few months ago, I said on this stage, don't get used to this, because this is just base camp. You know, I've just been working with someone who made it to Everest base camp. A lady and her husband said that on their bucket list, one of the absolute things they wanted to do was see Mount Everest. And so they paid to go on holiday and make it to Everest base camp. And when she told me what's involved in just getting to base camp, it's an expedition in itself just to get to base camp. Never mind climbing Everest. Getting to base camp is hard, hard work. And when they got to base camp, she said it was a magnificent feeling of achievement for them that they'd got there. And she said, and then they looked up at this mountain that you can't see the top of because the clouds come down and the planes fly round it. And she said she just looked and thought, we haven't even started. We haven't even started yet. And they've gone away revising their bucket list to decide what they're going to do next. Because having got there, they realised that it wasn't even the beginning of anything. And this is Base Camp. And it's taken us 4 years to get here. 300 people, 50 kids, 25 babies. That's just two or three of you. But it's not why we're here. We didn't start this church for it to be cozy. We didn't start this church for it to be easy. We didn't even start this church for it to be fun, though we think fun is good in church. All right? We started it for three reasons. Number one, to save the lost. There are billions of people going to hell if we don't do what the Lord has told us to do, which is the Great Commission, go out into all the world and spread the gospel. And Middlesbrough is all the world. And Bulgaria is all the world. And Estonia is all the world. And Russia is all the world. And Billingham is all the world. And Hartlepool is all the world. I never thought you'd twin Tallinn with Hartlepool, but there you go. All right? Second reason we started this church, quite simply, for you to be healed. For you to be healed. We were out for dinner with Keith and Maria Hammond last night. Biggest Yorkshire puddings I've ever eaten, by the way. And I said to Keith and Maria, my observation is quite a simple one. In the 4 years that we've ran this church, I've met people that have been in church all their lives, or for a long, long time, and I've met people that have only just got saved. And here's my opinion. Those that have been in church for years are more screwed up than those that haven't. Because they've been hurt in church by other Christians that they thought loved the Lord and loved them, and their scars run very, very deep. Whereas people who weren't saved and then discovered Jesus realized, actually, it was all me. It was all me. I'm sorry. Forgive me. And it's so much easier. That's what I've discovered. I'm not saying that that's life or everything, but in my experience over the last 4 years, that's what I've found. And the third reason that we started this church is quite simple. We want you to grow and fulfill your maximum potential. We want you to excel. We don't want a leadership logjam in this church. If someone comes in with an issue that you've fought all these years, where am I going to send them? To you, not to me. It's pointless me talking to someone who I've got no empathy for. I can love them, but you'll have the empathy, you'll have the experience, you'll have the love. And there's thousands of people going to go through those doors and all the doors of the churches around the world that we set up and we work with. And you just don't know what's going to walk through the doors. And when they do, we need all of you and more, because every kind of issue is going to come through those doors. But here's the truth. Hurting people hurt people. Healed people heal people. And through Jesus' stripes, we are healed. And that's the third reason we started this church. For you to excel, for you to grow, and for you to be used in the growth of the kingdom. And we're on the move. And as Reinhard Bonnke says, God doesn't sit with sitters, he goes with goers. We're not leaving this place behind. We're using this place as our kids' base. It's going to be awesome. We're still going to go for the back room. We're still going to get that back room. But it's only going to be another room for the kids. This is going to be the kids' base on Teesside. Don't you want your kids to have a fantastic facility? I absolutely subscribe to this. If the kids' church isn't as good as the adult church, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. I'm preparing a platform for my kids. Wherever I reach, I want my kids to stand on my head and go much, much further than that. Don't you agree with that? Don't you, for those of you who have kids, don't you just want your kids to do far, far better in life than you ever have? My dad was a welder. He was a welder who worked shifts all of his life. And he was delighted when I said, I don't want to be a welder. I want to do something different. No one encouraged me more than my dad to do more than he ever did. And that was just in his job. How much more then in the Christian faith? How much more in the Christian faith? So we're going to look at four or five points from this Isaiah message to the Israelites. Number one, enlarge the space of your tent. I don't know if you look around right now, but we're full. We're full. In fact, at the baptismal service last week, it was standing room only. Now, I'm not saying we have a flipping swimming pool in the middle of the church every week, but it was standing room only. And here's what happens when church halls get full. You don't grow anymore. In fact, you recede. Some people stop coming. It's been proven time and time again. Well, we didn't start this church to have a 200 or 300 people in a nice atmosphere and no one else can get in. That's not the purpose of this church. We're full and we're not leaving it like this. So we're moving to a bigger place that isn't full, with loads more spare seats, and our kids are coming in here. And the baptisms last week were fantastic. I have to say, I never thought I'd see the day when we turned round to Andy and said, "Andy, you're just too big for this baptismal tank, my friend." You know, you got an excited leader and a British jiu-jitsu champion hammering this guy down on the floor. And he came up and I went, "How do you feel?" He went, "My head's spinning." I went, "That'll be the Holy Spirit, Andy." It's fantastic. 20-odd people baptized last week. 24. Guys, the tip of the iceberg. Don't settle for this. Is it great? Yes, it is. But it's just the start. It is just the start. Our vision is for thousands saved on Teesside Park. We're going to have a church with thousands saved on Teesside Park. And we want to see hundreds of thousands saved in Europe. Listen, if that's not your vision, you're in the wrong church. I don't have a problem telling you that, and you shouldn't have a problem hearing that. If that's not your vision and you want something cozy, we'll even tell you where some cozy places are, and you should go there, because you will be far more suited to that than you will here. We're going to enlarge the space of our tent. Don't get comfy in a seat, because if someone comes one week and sits in that seat, it's not your seat anyway. It's never been your seat, and it never will be your seat. There are no seats reserved in the house of the Lord. All right? Just find a seat. And if you can't find a seat, get here earlier. I often laugh. Christians are the worst timekeepers I have ever met. And if I take Chris and Joe Huggins to one side, who set a standard all of their own, most Christians for a 10:30 service arrive at 22:11 and fall off the stage at the same time. All right? So if you want a seat, get here early. You know, I want to be part of a church where people are rushing to get in. I've seen visions. The Lord has given me visions and dreams of people running into church. Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't it? I tell you, I absolutely love it when I'm driving in and I'm in a queue of cars coming here, other than when they're doing 18 miles an hour to get here. But I love it. I'm excited. I look outside and there's a running club that runs out there. And all of these runners are like looking at all of these cars arriving. And they're like, "What's going on?" And one day, Paul will probably do it before I do, I want to go up and say, "You've joined the wrong meeting. You've come to the wrong spot. You need to be in there, not out there." That hasn't happened yet. Maybe you can do it. Enlarge your tent pegs. You know, our first house was a little 3-bed semi. All right? And it was lovely. And it was lovely because we had no kids. We have three. We have three. We have three. I didn't mean it like that. See, the problem in this church is you just judge all the time. It was lovely and adequate because we didn't have kids. We've got three kids now. There's no way we could ever survive in that little 3-bed semi. All right? We had to move before we had kids, actually, because me and Carolyn, it took us 10 years to have kids in the first place. It would have took us longer if we hadn't moved. You've got to move. And sometimes you've got to move with faith, like Paul and Stella, who haven't sold their house yet, but know God's called them to a new house. So they move in faith. They move in faith. If you want to expand your tent pegs, your faith's got to be with you. You've got to build up your faith. If you haven't got faith this morning for this move, you're in the wrong place. I don't mean you're in the wrong physical place. I mean you're in the wrong spiritual place. Come and get prayed for and have a blast of faith. Because we're not going to do it without faith, guys. And we're not going to do it without Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We've got to have the faith to do it. You know, we want to see hundreds of thousands of people saved. That's why Martin and Margaret are in Bulgaria and Tom and Laura aren't. Poor Tom. He got to the airport, handed in his passport, and they said, You've only got 3 months left on your passport. You need more time on your passport in order for us to let you into that country. Poor Laura, what a dilemma she had. A week of partying in Sofia with Martin and Margaret. Jaeger bomb city. Or come home with Tom, whose passport's not got enough time left on it. So she did 3 days in Sofia and then legged it back home.
No.
Tom and Laura came home. There's a message and a lesson in this for everyone. Dust off your passport and make sure it's valid and it's got enough time on it. Because if you want to be part of this movement, you're going to travel. If you want to be part of this movement, you're going to need a passport. Struth, the day's going to come when you won't get to Scotland without using your passport. All right? So, dust off your passport. Get your travel bag ready. Because this church is on the move. Can I encourage you to go to Estonia this summer? They will be blessed by you going, but you will be massively blessed by being there. You will be massively blessed by being there. We're going to go to Russia sometime this year. We're going to take a team of people to Russia. We're going to spy out the land in Moscow and St. Petersburg. And I haven't got a clue what's going to happen when we go. But when God says go, you just go, right? You just go. And everything that we're doing as part of this group going out and evangelizing around Teesside is part of that movement. But we need more space. And if we think small, we'll stay small. You know, we have a phrase at work, which is, if you aim for the moon, but you only hit the trees, at least you took off. Yeah? And that's what our vision is. We're aiming for the moon, and God's going to take us wherever he takes us, because if we think small, we will stay small. It's funny, you know, when we took this building, we were told, you'll never have a church on Teesside Park. Not a chance. We went to a wedding, and a guy called Howard, who owns loads of shops in Yarm and Stockton and all that, he's a buildings kind of wise guy, all right, said to us, there's no way you'll get a church owned by a Jewish landlord on Teesside Park. I'd love for him to come and repeat those words right now, stood in this room, all right? We don't need to be big-headed about it, and it's not us. It's the Lord that makes the way. God will make a way where there seems not to be a way. You know, it's him that gets all the glory for this. And so for us, our plans are big. And I've had conversations with people in this church, especially people when we started this church, who said to me, I don't like the way this is going. And I say, what don't you like? And they say, well, when I first started with this church, you could get to see and speak to every leader all the time. They always had time for you. You could have half an hour with each one at the end of each service. Now, there's all these new people here, and they're taking up all your time, and I don't get 5 minutes with you anymore. And I'm like, oh, you haven't got this at all, have you? So let me just tell you what the thing is that you're missing. You're the leader. You're the leader. So you have half an hour with those people now. You see, if it's all about you, you've missed the point. If it's all about you, get back on Route 61 and get this sorted with Jesus' help. It's not about you. It's about the lost. That's why church is set up. That's why church is set up, for the lost. When the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, the 120 of them didn't say, right, now then, what's the plan to keep this exclusive? They didn't say, bolt the doors, stay in, do hundreds of studies, and don't tell a soul what we're doing. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let them. My Bible says the windows burst open and they fell out onto the street speaking in a heavenly language. Is that what your Bible says? Then you're reading the same Bible as me. That's great. And then they spoke, and then Peter did what? He preached like he's never preached before, with all of the confidence of a broken man that's been restored. A broken man who's been restored, preaches, and on that one day, how many saved? 3,000 people saved in one go. I mean, I don't know what Now You've Been Saved booklets they were giving out at that time, Maz, and they'll be on tablets of stone, I'm sure, but I guess they were busy that day starting to look at where the heck do we put all of these people, because we want to meet regularly and see this grow. But growth is a regular and natural part of a healthy church. Point number two, stretch out your curtains and lengthen your cords. I don't know about you, but I love camping. I never thought I would. Because, you know, to take a phrase of a good friend of mine, the normal stars that I sleep under are 5 stars. And they're a hotel. All right? But a few years ago, we took the plunge and started camping. Do you know what? I quite like it. There's something about cooking bacon in the middle of a cow's field. Don't know what it is, but it works for me. In fact, it's the only time I see men cook. There they are in the morning. Blokes cooking bacon and eggs. They suddenly sort of go, this stuff's easy. You know, they even swagger like that, don't the men, cooking stuff. So I actually like camping, with the exception of sleeping, because I just can't sleep in a sleeping bag. But I enjoy the other part of it. And the one thing that I can't stand about camping, which is a major part of it, is putting the tent up. I know it's a detail, isn't it? It's a detail. But I can't stand putting the tent up. I'll tell you how much I hate putting the tent up. I pay Tim and Emily to put our tent up. This is what I say. Tim says, right, we're booked in the campsite. We can get on there from 12 o'clock. And I always say to Tim, I'll be working that day, Tim. I'm not going to get there till about 4, maybe 5 o'clock. How long does it take you to put the tent up? 5 hours. Or it's going to be at least 5 o'clock before I get there, Tim. And Tim and Emily and my sister Christine, when we get there, it's like there's a village already set up, you know. There's a town hall, there's a little bar there. And Tim just like makes these like little villages before you even get there. And it's absolutely fantastic. And when Carolyn and I first went, we went with Chris and Joe. Not because we liked them, we just needed someone to help us with the tent. And we had a nightmare, and I couldn't get the cords to stretch out properly, and I'd put the tent so close to the fence that I had to climb over into a bull's field to stake the ropes out. It was an absolute disaster. And then none of the sheets were straight. The sheets were all baggy. So when it rained, the rainwater just collected into the tent, and everyone else's tent looked like something at the bottom of Everest base camp. And ours just looked like a dead sleeping bag in the middle of a field with a few sticks in the ground. It was awful. It was awful. And it's crossed and crumpled. And you need to stretch out your tent pegs. And you need to stretch out your curtains. Because that's when the church grows and becomes effective. Here's what I've noticed. If you don't stretch out, if we don't stretch, water gathers. And as that water gathers, if you leave it too long, if you stay crumpled up and unstretched, that water turns septic and it stinks. And we stink if we don't stretch ourselves. I think lukewarm is so offensive to God that he spews it out. I love coffee. I can't believe how Britain has taken on this coffee culture. Years ago, nobody went for coffee, and now we spend significant amounts of cash every month meeting for coffee and buying coffee, right? But have you noticed how Costa have had to start saying, do you want that extra hot? Because British culture doesn't like lukewarm coffee. Costa have proven it. You can get an ice cold one. What do they call them? Frappes. You can get a frappe. And people will drink an ice cold one, and they'll drink a hot one. But give someone a lukewarm coffee, what do you do with it? I mean, you drink it because you've paid for it, right? But it's pants, yeah? It's absolutely pants. Well, it offends God far more when we're lukewarm. The Bible says he would spew it out. That's how offensive it is to God. Lukewarmness offends him. He'd actually prefer you to be freezing cold, because at least he knows what to do with you when that's the case. But the Bible says that he wants us fired up and stretched out. Have I told you the Chris Huggins salmon story? Who's not heard the Chris Huggins salmon story? Enough of you for me to tell it. So Huggins goes to Tesco's and buys some groceries and a fresh piece of salmon. He puts the groceries in the back of his car, drives like a lunatic home, takes the bag of shopping out of his car, and goes into the house with it. Three or four days later, there's a small hum in his car. A little bit of a smell that's not uncomfortable, but slightly out of place. A week later, that smell has become significantly more tangible and far more noticeable, not necessarily to Chris, who's in his car all the time, but to everyone who he gives a lift to. 10 days later, there's a green fog coming out of the windows of that car. Huggins doesn't notice it, but his brother does when he gets in and says, "Has somebody died in this car?" 2 weeks later, Chris Huggins finds a rather green-looking piece of salmon underneath the driver's seat. I think he ate it, actually, knowing Chris. But here's the point. If you don't use what you've been given, it goes off and it stinks. And if you don't stretch yourself, you'll stink and you'll be offensive. You'll be offensive to God and you'll be offensive to others. Stretch out your curtains. Stretch out your tent pegs. Point three, do not spare. Do not spare. Think big. Think big. Dream big. Dream big. That doesn't mean extravagant, by the way, or ridiculous, but it does mean adventurous. Don't spare. You see, if we decide that we only want a church of 500, what's the point of that? When there's 600,000 people that live on Teesside. And if we decide we're only going to go to one country, let's say we choose Estonia, all right? Because it's easy and there's 50,000 Estonians living in this church already, all right? What's the point? Where's the think big? Where's the do not spare when that happens? You see, in this image, what Isaiah is saying is, make that tent as big as you can and don't worry about filling it. Don't worry about filling it. You know, for us, our vision is a 2,000-seater bingo hall. Could we fill it right now? No. There's only 10% of the people here. We'd rattle around like a pea on a drum. Doesn't mean we don't think big. Doesn't mean we don't say we don't want it. It doesn't mean we don't have conversations about it, because we do. And I tell you what, when we get it, we'll think it's too small. We'll actually think it's too small, which is why for Estonia, we've taken a 400-seater hall this summer. Those of you who went to Estonia a couple of years ago, we took, I think, 150-seater, maybe a 200-seater, and we got over 120 people attending, all right? It worked for that time. We're going bigger this time. Do not spare. And for some of you, the message this morning is, don't spare your lives either. You know, we sang this morning, "Glory to God, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory." We sing some stuff, don't we? I love the words, and the music's great, so we sing it, don't we? All for you and for your glory. Really? Ask yourselves whether what you've just sung is actually what you want and how you live. Because the Bible says, do not spare. The thing with Estonia is, this hall that we've taken, God's with us. He's with us. So much so that they've said, you don't have to pay for it until you get here. It's a lot of money. It's a fantastic hall. But isn't that awesome? It's absolutely awesome that because we've gone for it, God's with us. God makes a way. Did we have the money to pay for it now? No. We didn't have the money to pay for it now. And Estonian business people must think differently to British business people, because they've said, oh, just pay us when you rock up. No deposit needed. Not full payment 30 days before you get here. Just pay us when you arrive. Is that awesome? I think that's incredible that they would actually trust us like that. Only God could make that happen. Only God could. So don't spare yourselves. Do not spare yourselves. You know, I love sport. Always have done. I think I was born running. Honestly, I can't get enough of sport. I absolutely love it. Where's the Saffers? Come on, England, this afternoon. England are in the World T20 final against the West Indies, and we're going to win, all right? But I love sport, and I always feel sad when someone comes away from an event and says, I don't feel like I gave it everything. I feel like I hung back. I don't feel like I did all I could do. Or I'm carrying an injury. I couldn't really run as fast as I wanted to. Or I just didn't play. You know, we were too nervous. We got stage fright. I'm really sad when that happens. I'm looking at Harry because last year the Borough got to a playoff final at Wembley, and I bumped into Harry and Carl outside of a pub. They were sat on the floor in their own mess, drinking loads of lager and stuff. And I never noticed them. It was our Joel who went, "Oh, there's Harry laid down on the floor over there." You know, we bumped into Harry and Carl. We're all excited, you know. Come on, the Borough. Win this one game at Wembley and you're in the Premier League, at least for a season. All right, come on. And when we got there, the team just got stage fright. After 20 minutes, it was all over. Norwich were 2-0 up. Game over. And the Borough fans, 40-odd thousand of them, were just sick to the stomach. Because after all of that hype and after all of that potential, they never turned up. They didn't give it their all. They held back and they spared something. Guys, don't spare anything. Not just for this church, but just in your own walk with Jesus. Don't spare anything. But if you want to be a part of our church and about our movement, I just want to remind you of just four things that we say counts as being with us, counts as being members of this church. And it's at this point that Mike Lewis goes, "Oh, here we go. Here's my ticket out of here, where I realize that the bar is so high, I'm not going to achieve it." It's not very high, all right? In fact, it's incredibly easy. Here's the four things that we count you as members if you do these four things. Number one, attend regularly. Come to church. Do you think that's reasonable to say that actually if you're with us, you come in? I do. I think that's a very fair thing to say. Attend regularly. And some people say to me, particularly the teachers in the church, "And how often is regularly?" I don't know. Just all the time, I think, is about as good a description as I can get. Come all the time. Secondly, give generously. The Bible talks about different ways of tithing. And the minimum one I can see is 10%. Minimum is 10%. But if you look at the way Abel gave to God, Abel gave God his first fruits, his best fruits, and way more than he needed to. So I like that model, actually. It's far less litigious, isn't it? It's far more open and free. If you want to count yourselves as a member of this church, give. Give. Give your time, give your money, give your efforts. And if you want an instruction, we don't particularly believe in giving instruction, but the very minimum was 10%. This place doesn't pay for itself. Moving to the next building doesn't pay for itself. Martin's trips to Niagara Falls in a helicopter don't pay for themselves. The third one is speak positively. Firstly, speak positively about this church. If you're slagging this church off, can you please stop coming? Secondly, if you're slagging us off as leaders, can you please stop coming? And thirdly, if you're slagging each other off, can you please stop coming? Because the Bible says that where there is unity, there the Lord commands a blessing. All right? And as leaders, we have our moments, you know. We have our moments as leaders where we have a go at each other. And it normally takes a head-bashing session to get us together to go, "Do you know what? We're just human and we have different opinions on stuff." But we've had some meetings where we've had to clear the air, get some stuff out, love each other, hug each other, pray for each other, pray with each other, and crack on. Because as a leadership team, we've got to be united. Otherwise, there's no blessing. I've seen other churches fall apart as a result of it. Two leaders think this, three leaders think that, and never the twain shall meet. What a load of rubbish. What a load of rubbish. We have to be together. And then we have to take that out through our wives. Our wives have to be united. And it's much harder for them because they meet far less often than we do. And they're having to play catch-up all the time when we meet together. And then we've got to take that out through the leadership. We have 50 people in our church that we've appointed as extended leaders of this church. They have to be united. They have to be together, which is why we've encouraged those leaders to meet together with each other for meals and do a couple of social things. Not prescriptively and all the time, but at least once. Get together and just find out a bit about people. It's healthy and it's good for you. And then we want that to go out through to everybody, through to absolutely everybody in this church. So speak positively about this church. And finally, serve willingly. Serve willingly. I always loved it when Beth Hope, not Hope for much longer, came to our church and she said to me, how do I get into your church? I said, get in. No, you're in. She said, no. Unless I'm cleaning, I'm not in. I said, well, you can clean if you want, Beth. But you're in anyway. But if you want to clean, great. We always need cleaners. This place doesn't clean itself. So Beth was like, okay, I'll clean. And I said, how do you feel? And she went, I know I'm in now. I know I'm in. It's sweet and it's lovely. But you don't have to serve to be in. All right? But what we're asking you for is a heart to do so. A heart to do so. Here's what serving is. Serving is sometimes doing stuff that you don't want to do. Do you think Carolyn likes cleaning toilets on a Monday morning? Do you think Irving likes cleaning toilets on a Monday? Well, maybe he does. I don't know. But I don't think that that's what they woke up on a Monday morning and bounced out of bed to do. Although I do know of people that absolutely get blessed by cleaning church. How does Sunday morning work? Someone puts communion out. Someone sweeps up and hoovers. Someone sets chairs out. A problem that is going to go away. Somebody gets in here an hour and a half before you and makes tea and coffee. A worship band get here 5 hours before you do. They get up in the middle of the night and come in to get sound checks done and all that. And diligent guys at the back do all the words and all the music. This place doesn't run itself. People serve. They serve at Route 61. They serve at A61. They serve on M61. They serve at Alpha. They serve at prayer meetings. They serve at house groups. They serve at band of brothers and band of sisters. They serve. And my challenge to you is, are you? Are you? Because if you're not, why not? You know, if the whole church was passengers, then who would drive the bus? Who would collect the tickets? Who would clean all the rubbish away? It needs us all to muck in and serve. So serve willingly. And point four, strengthen your stakes. That's you. That is you. I've already told you what our vision is. And we've had some incredible testimonies in the last few weeks on Alpha, on Route 61, and on A61. There's been some amazing healing, some amazing restoration, some amazing salvation, some amazing everything. It's been phenomenal. And there are months, you know, when I think, is this really working, Lord? Are we doing what you said? Are we being obedient? And then I come to a Route 61 final night, and I hear 30 testimonies from people in tears. And I'm like, oh, what a privilege. What an absolute honor to be part of this church. What an honor to hear people say, I've been praying for my daughter for 10 years, and she's back. I've been ill. I've had many illnesses, and I'm completely healed. I wanted my children saved, and they're not yet, but I'm reconciled to them, and they're coming round my house on a regular basis. Steps of it. I tell you, it's tremendous. It's fantastic to see, and God's moving. And for those of you who've done Route 61, the next step for you is the Holy Spirit Month. We're going to repeat that Holy Spirit Month again. And we want, if you want to do it again, you're welcome to. But once we get you through that, we want to talk to you about what you want to do. And once we know what you want to do, we want to try and facilitate some of that, because we don't want a leadership logjam. What do you want to be involved in? Strengthen your stakes. We need a strong church. We need to strengthen you. And finally, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. Growth's exciting, isn't it? If you just take that literally for a second, we expand to the right and to the left. That means a nightclub and a casino. It's interesting, isn't it? You'll never get a church on Teesside Park, my friend Howard said. And yet, that was the first building we ever went into. And the casino, when they owned upstairs, willingly said yes to us taking that on. Isn't that interesting? But let's expand a little bit further to the right and to the left. Left that way is the Showcase Cinema, where we're moving into to run church. And right that way is Middlesbrough Town Centre. Expand to the left and to the right, the Bible says. Get on a plane and expand to the left and to the right. Get on a boat and expand to the left and right. Jump in your car and expand to the left and to the right. It's exciting, but growth takes hard work. Here's the thing. God made you and me in his image, and God works. In fact, God works 6 days a week. 6 days a week and one day off. That's the model that he gave us. So there's nothing wrong in hard work. In fact, if you're not working hard, that's not God's image. That's not God's image. And it's funny, isn't it, how the current generations of people, many young people, have no clue what hard work looks like. Because they come from generations before them that have never had a job. I'm not criticizing people for that, but it is interesting how different generations don't understand what that means. And I interview loads of people, and I say to them, because I coach people, I'm like, how come you've done so well at this company? And they go, hard work. I've worked hard for 30 years, and I've been rewarded as a result. I think there's some truth in that for all of us. I think the more we do, Stuart has a saying, if you're doing that job, it means somebody else can do something else. And I like that. And I like that about this church. You see, when they took Jericho, they marched around Jericho for 6 days. I don't know how big Jericho is, but it was a city surrounded by a wall so thick the chariots raced on top. It must have took a while to walk around Jericho for those 6 days, blowing trumpets and horns all day. All day. How daft must that have looked to this all-powerful nation looking over the wall going, what the heck are they doing? But on the seventh day, they walked around it 7 times. I'm guessing that was from dusk till dawn and beyond. And then with a final blast of ram's horn, the walls came down. Do you think they were absolutely exhausted by the end of it? I think they were on their knees. I bet it was with the very last breath that they blew. And only when God said, I've got what I wanted from you, you can take it, did it actually happen. Your obedience is well noted, in you go. I absolutely believe that that was the case on that seventh day with that seventh trip. You know, if you want to be a good marathon runner, you train. Actually, buy some trainers and go and run for a start. That's how you get fit. And an expansion for us means buying a pair of trainers and getting out and running. But it also means taking risks. I used to work with a guy who had all these little gold nugget sayings, and he used to say to me, the man who never made a mistake, never made anything. You're free to make mistakes, he said. And I did, loads of them. And that's the same for you. You're free to make mistakes in this church. The Christian church is the only church that shoots its own wounded. Did you know that? It's the only church that shoots its own wounded. All right? We think that stinks and it's pants. And if you make a mistake, we will pick you back up and throw you back in again. You're free to make mistakes in this church. Risk comes with that. But don't procrastinate. I really, it winds me up when people say, I'm going to do this, and then they don't do it. It really winds me up because when you assume someone's going to do it and they don't, it's a hole, right? It's something that never got done. Don't procrastinate. Have a go. Just have a go. Me and Craig were talking the other week, and we're going to set up some men's social evenings. And the first one's going to be pie and peas and a knockout darts competition. Are you up for that, fellas? Excellent. Ladies are all jealous now, aren't they? They're all going, oh, why can't we have one then? Well, if you want to have a basket weaving night, you do that. So, guys, watch this space. There's going to be a couple of social things coming up. Will there be any good? We've no idea. But we're going to have a go. We're going to have a go. You see, a church that plays darts together grows together. Here's the other thing I've noticed, though, just to finish. A lot of people say to me that they live on the edge. And when I ask them that, in the context that they're explaining it, they say to me, oh, I live on the edge. I'm a risk taker. All right? Let me put living on the edge in a church context for you. If you're in the heart of the church, right, and you're doing all those things that we said, attending regularly, giving generously, serving willingly, and speaking positively, you're in the heart of the church. If you're doing all those things, you're right in the middle, all right? For me, living on the edge is right out there. And here's what I've discovered about people that live on the edge. They're utterly unfulfilled. Utterly unfulfilled. For me, living on the edge is the most boring place you can ever live. If you're on the edge, I get it if you're just starting somewhere. So if you're new to Christianity and you just want to take a look and settle in, I totally get that. That's really sensible. Well done. And I also get it if you've been battered and you want to just take a bit of time to just stay on the edge, be healed, let God speak to you, be blessed, receive, and then go. But why would you spend years on the edge? What's the point? What is the point of spending years on the edge? One way or another, you're going to fall off. One day, you're going to lose your balance and go, see, it's really dangerous on the edge. If you want to be safe and secure, get in the middle. Get in the middle. If you don't want to fall off a cliff, don't go near the edge. Don't go near the edge. Get as far away from the edge and move right into the middle. And for some of you today, I think you need to hear that. Listen, we're going to the cinema in 4 weeks. We're going to run our services on a morning in the cinema. As Keith said earlier, we're taking a 400-seater building, so it's going to be half full. And, you know, it's not going to be straightforward. You know, people have come to me and said, I don't think the chairs are very comfortable in there. Get over it. I don't think the lighting's going to be right. Get over it. We've still got to drop the kids off in a different place. You're doing that now. It's gonna take a lot of effort to run a church in that place. Do you think this has been run on fresh air? Do you think people haven't been working now? But here's the difference. It's going to need all of us. If you're sat in here today, listen to me. We need you. We need you to help run this church and grow this church. You're the leaders. You're the leaders. Welcome. Welcome. There is no leadership logjam because it's you. It's you. It's all of us. All right? And it's true that it's going to be tough, but we're taking the Caleb approach. You see, people keep throwing all these things at me about, oh, I don't think that's going to work, and oh, are you sure about that? Sorry, we've already seen it, and we're going. And when Caleb came back with the other 11, including Joshua, actually, they all said, there's giants there. They're huge. The sons of Anak live there. And Caleb said, we can have this. We can take this. And that's our approach, guys. Are there some giants in there? A couple, but they're only made of popcorn. We're having this. We are having this. Do you want it? Do you want this next move? Oh, stand to your feet. Verse 17 says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And I want to tell you about this guy called Kevin, who runs this place. When Martin went to see him last week with a few other guys, Kevin, walking down the room, said to him, just think, this is where it all starts. And he runs the place. He's not even a Christian. He doesn't even know what we're doing. And Kevin's saying, this is where it all starts. Do you know, Kevin has given us the most amazing financial deal. We were praying, Lord, please let it be no more than 1,500 quid. We've got it for eight. You know, we said, Lord, I don't know how it's going to work, but can we please just, you know, have someone that's with us? And he says, oh, you can just have the room and do what you want. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And, you know, we want to do this for the next 2 years. So don't get comfortable. Don't get comfortable in this next move. It's only for 2 years, and some people think it's even going to be quicker than that we get too big. Do you know what? I hope they're right and I'm wrong, but that's what we've secured it for. We've asked for it for the next 2 years, and we're taking this 400-seater room, and we need you. Don't do it for us. Don't do it for you. Do it for him, and do it for them, because there's people going to walk through that door who need you, and because of the love of Jesus in you, they're going to be dramatically saved, wonderfully healed, and they will excel themselves. And you will say of these people who are not with us now, I remember him when he was broken. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Why don't you just close your eyes? Let's call on the Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Father, I ask that you lift off any fear and any desire for comfort. any desire for nice and cozy. Break it off us now. Lord, I pray for a pioneering spirit to flow through this church, to flow through every person here right now. Lord, we accept your great commission to go out into all of the world and reach the lost by preaching the good news. And I want to ask you now, if you are with us, if you are with us, then turn your face to heaven right now and ask the Holy Spirit for all the courage and all the strength and all the faith that you need. Because it's going to take it all. So come now, Holy Spirit. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your power. Fill us with your determination. We accept your commission, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.